You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 64 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with the energetic Jeff Gargis.
Energetic? I feel like I have to be energetic when you call me energetic, Ray. Am I energetic?
You're so energetic. That was submitted by none other than Adam Peterson from episode 1. Episode 1 of Teach Better Talk. Do you remember that?
Yeah, now I got to make sure that anytime I talk to Adam in the near future that I'm super energetic. Otherwise, he's going to feel like he told a lie. So shout out to Adam Peterson. By the way, awesome podcast on my way to school with Adam Peterson. So definitely give that a listen.
And he has a big celebration on May 9th. It's Make Someone's Day Yellow, which is an amazing, amazing, amazing day. So if you don't know about Make Someone's Day Yellow, make sure to search that hashtag.
Absolutely.
It's on May 9th. It's awesome.
You get an awesome shirt. My daughter she always wants to wear her shirt. She never wants to take it off. Also,
well, Jeff, we're going to actually be together that day. You're going to be in Chicago. Ooh. And I am so excited. I'm going to wear my shirt.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's make sure I don't forget to do that. We should do that. And another big celebration, just congratulations to Adam for signing a book deal with Burgess.
Oh, yeah,
so
Burgess.
We're going to be book buddies, which is awesome. He shouldn't be too far behind us, which is great. So super excited about that. So really cool. Ray, I wanted to get in. I know you normally ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing energetic. I want to ask how you're doing, because I know we can tell if you're listening that Ray's voice is just a little bit different today. So what's going on over there?
Are you saying you don't like my voice?
I love your voice. I kind of want you to sing Smelly Cat.
Yeah. You know what? I'm watching Friends. I'm watching all the seasons. And I just watched the episode where Phoebe lost her voice and became this awesome jazz singer.
Shoes.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love it.
Jeff, I won't lie to you. I'm a little sick.
Yeah. So we were talking about this and, you know, like you're like, you told me this morning, I don't have much of a voice. I said, well, let me know if we can't do this or whatever. And you know, I said, well, you sure you're okay? And you said, yeah, getting sick is part of life. Sometimes you get sick.
Yeah.
But like that's not an excuse to just, you know, sometimes you got to push through it. Sometimes you still got to do it. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, take care of yourself to get back to good. But
yeah. And know. I'm doing all the things you're supposed to do, right? Like hot tea and resting my voice. But when it comes to podcasts, I mean, we book these things months in advance, mm-hmm. and we have incredible, incredible educators we're interviewing. And I'm like, to be honest, what do our listeners care if my voice isn't good? It's the people that we're having as a guest on the show that matter. Who cares about me?
I agree. It's really just all about me, and I'm the one who matters. I totally agree. That's what we're thinking. No,
Jeff,
but you know,
it's about you. You're what? Right.
What's that?
It is about you. You're right. It's all about you.
But you know, when you say that, what I think about is like, you know, we do. We book these way out. We were just talking about how we're booked up for like the next four months or so as far as recording dates. Like we're booking people months out in advance. So these people, you know, these amazing educators, they're busy. They have families. They have things that they're trying to do in their lives. And they're taking time out to talk with us. So we do. We push through a lot. There's been nights when I don't feel great. There's been other times when you don't feel great and you just can't hear it in your voice, right? And we push through, and you got to show up. It's important. We know these stories are important. You, if you are listening, are important to us, and we appreciate you, and we want to do these things for you. And you know, Ray, it makes me think about just teachers in general, because teachers so often show up even when they don't feel great. They go in front of the class.
Oh my gosh,
they put in the time to, whether it's grading papers, learning and studying for a new initiative that they've put in place, or putting together a lesson plan, or getting those final touches, or going to the store to get those supplies, which they pay for out of their own pocket, by the way, or just being in class, dealing with whatever comes your way, when all the while you feel horrible inside, and you just do what you got to do to get done. And the level of appreciation is way up there.
You know, Jeff, I have two things to tell you about that. First of all, I had a colleague text me this morning asking if it was okay if she took a mental health day. She's like, I'm not sick, my body's fine, but I'm just in a bad place mentally. You know, she's like, it seems odd to take a sick day when I'm not, you know, sick home with the flu or throwing up. And I'm like, no, educators push themselves to the highest extreme. And it's okay for you to take a few moments, like, to work on you, because you matter, and you can't fill up, what do we say all the time? You can't fill glasses when you're empty, or whatever that better phrase is.
Yeah, well, I'll flip it to how I was saying with teachers show up. Like, you can't show up if you beat yourself down and you don't ever show up for yourself too.
Absolutely.
So sometimes, yeah, you got to take that. Sometimes you got to take that mental day when you're not quote unquote sick, so that when you are sick, you can push through it and be there. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Well, and it's that health balance. Health is not just, you know, your body. Health mm-hmm. is your mind as well. So yeah. I just want to congratulate her. I was so proud of her for taking a sick day. And while I probably needed one, I was able to push through. And, you know, my issue is just in my throat. Everything else is fine. So I think that a little reminder that we work really hard and that everybody powers through. And whether we like to admit it or not, Jeff and I are human. So, you know, that you get the raspy voice. My biggest fear, though, Jeff, is that our listeners are going to hear my voice, you know, for this episode and maybe a few more after this, and like prefer it this way. And it's not going to stay this way, guys. Like my squeaky voice is coming back, whether you want it or not.
Well, I think they'll get over it. They'll be okay. And if they aren't okay, they can tell me, and we just won't tell you. We'll lie to you forever.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I figured you would. So, because of that, what I don't want to do, I don't want to talk too much longer on this, on the front end of this. We have an awesome episode here. So much stuff that we can pull out. And I'm going to ask you that in a second. We have Jeffrey Austin, who has been in our PLN for quite a while now. He just recently hosted Mastery Chat. He's very involved in Mastery Chat. He's done some guest blogging with us. You and he have written co-blogs together that are phenomenal. Jeff is actually a world humanities teacher, a write-in center director, and the English department chair at Skyline High School, which is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He also serves as the Midwest Regional Representative for the Secondary School Write-in Centers Association. That's a mouthful. And the Secondary School's Representative for the International Write-in Center Association. 2017, I'm going to try to say the county name, Washtenaw, I think is how you say it. County commendable teacher by the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti Regional Chamber of Commerce, and the 2018 innovative educator by the Michigan Department of Education. Those were both for his work in creating literacy, community, and equity through write-in centers. He is so passionate when it comes to getting students passionate and excited about reading and writing. That's really, really cool. I actually talked about it really early on the episode because you can just feel it from the start of the whole thing. So super excited to have him there. He helped start and build it's the Skyline Write-In Center, which is like just a total student-centered spot he talks about in this episode. It's just a super cool thing. He has a couple quotes that I'm not going to say, but that I wrote down that, man, are just awesome in there. They're in the show notes, but it's a super, super great episode. Ray, you've done some co-blogging with Jeff. You've known him a little bit longer than I have. What did you pull out from the episode that maybe like you didn't see coming or didn't know about prior to today?
You know, Jeff is all about, and I said this in the podcast episode, but he has an amazing philosophy that I couldn't agree with more. But his expertise is in an area that I know nothing about. I mean, he's a high school English teacher. But his focus on mastery and all these other elements, he blends in with his amazing knowledge base. So I think what I most enjoyed about this podcast was learning from him. I mean, we interview amazing people. We always leave inspired. But I think Jeff really adds in small nuggets of information that you can take back and implement tomorrow. And I love those episodes.
And with that, let's get into episode number 64 with Jeffrey Austin. All right, so we're here talking with Jeffrey Austin. And Jeff, it's hard for me to believe, we were just talking for a minute before, Ray and I, about all the different ways that you are sort of connecting with us between being on social media. You host Master Chat just recently. You blog with us. You've actually done co-blogs with Ray. And yet here we are just finally getting you on the podcast. And we're super, super excited to just dive into your brain and get to know you a little bit better, man. So how are you feeling tonight?
I'm really excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a really long time. So being able to do Mastery Chat and being able to be on the podcast, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's like an actor hosting Saturday Night Live. It's the pinnacle of the profession.
All righty then. We'll take it.
Jeff, I am so excited for you to be on this episode of Teach Better Talk, but I really want to make sure our listeners kind of know all about you, because I've had the pleasure of getting to know you the past year or so. So do you mind telling us how you describe all that you do?
Sure. Obviously being a teacher is this really big thing. And I'll try my best to, I think, distill what I do into podcastable formats. I think that my biggest priority or my biggest focus in the classroom as a teacher, as a school leader, is really equity and inclusion. I feel like I have an obligation. I feel like schools have an obligation to deal with gaps in equity and disproportional outcomes that come from disproportional practices. So that's really where a lot of my focus goes to. I would say that I work with students to build meaningful, choice-based learning opportunities that hopefully honor their literacies and value their funds of knowledge. Really want students to take control of their own learning. We use a lot of discussion, coaching, and feedback in my classes, and I really want them always revising, rethinking, and imagining. I think this is really especially important around literacy, which is my heart and soul, literacy and writing. And I really just want to trust these students to develop reading and writing lives and get really passionate about those things, especially when the grades are gone and the rubrics are gone and the stuff of school is gone. I still want them to be readers and writers because that's the most important thing that I can think of.
I love your passion behind that, man. That's so important for us to have educators out there that are still really passionate about helping students find the joy in and then become readers and writers. I think that's so crucial. I agree with you there. So I gets me excited hearing you talk about it with so much passion. And we see it in your writing and things as well. So I want to talk to you real quick about failure. You know the podcast. You know we talk about this. You know that I love talking about failure. Not that I love failing, but I love the learning opportunity that it provides. So can you take us to a time that you've had a failure in your life? Tell us about what happened. How did you overcome it? And then what did you take away from that?
Yeah, I got to go back to earlier in my career. I worked in a school and a department that was really competitive about who was the hardest grader, who gave the least amount of A's. And for a while there, I thought that was what you had to buy into to be good or to get ahead or to do whatever you wanted to do in teaching. But it really impacted my relationships with students. They weren't very good the first year. And I think I quickly learned that if you don't have good relationships, you've probably failed in some way. Something's gone completely wrong. As I was saying before, my focus is like equity. When you have this level of competition about these things, it's really hard to have an equitable classroom. So basically what happened with my students as a result was learning became about being best or being right. And that's not really a great classroom either. It fosters a really negative sense of competition. So I had to change. I had to completely ditch what I was doing, which was hard because I was a first-year teacher. I'm kind of going against some established norms in my school. So I really had to reimagine what I was doing. And I really realized that it was about students having choices and the ability to make meaning together and puzzle over interesting things together. I think I really learned through that failure that you can't teach the students that you think you should have or the idealized student. You're teaching the students in front of you. And that's just the most important thing. You have to be student ready. And I don't think I was early on. And so I really failed at building those key relationships that we need.
Hey everyone, while we take this quick break, I want to encourage you to log into Facebook and go join our private Teach Better Team group. It is full of 1,000 educators who are sharing ideas from the classroom, but really also brainstorming ways to start implementing these new initiatives that we're all working on. So go head over to Facebook and make sure you're a part of this incredible team.
So then what are some of the changes that you made since then to help yourself build those relationships and be more student ready, as you call it?
You know, one of the things I'm really, really excited about over the past few years is the way that this idea of student choice has really come into the mainstream. I was on Twitter in like the nascent days of like 2009. I was one of the first teachers on Twitter in my school. I had like 12 followers. I don't have much more than that today. I felt like I was really tweeting into the abyss, but I came across some early education chats. And so it's really exciting to see that some of the things that were kind of pushed out into the periphery have come to the center now. And I'm really excited that student choice is one of them. I think another thing that really had to change was I had to unlearn a lot of things. Oftentimes to learn, I think we do have to unlearn. My students have to do a lot of unlearning too. Like I was saying before, my classes are all discussion oriented and feedback based and reflection based. Students self-report their grades. So a lot of these things that we use to measure ourselves that are very artificial are gone. And so students have to sort of reimagine themselves as students, just as I had to reimagine myself as a teacher. One of my heroes, Beau Schembechler, always used to say, the team, the team, the team. And I think that's what a classroom's all about. We really have to invest in ourselves in this idea of the team and kind of reprioritize that over, again, being right or best, because I think that's going to be what facilitates the learning.
I love the team mentality. That's really cool. Not sure if I've heard him put that way before, but it's so true. We talk about like all of us, we're all out here with all the teachers now, and we're all on the same team trying to work for kids. But within individual classrooms, you're also the same team. You're all working for a common goal of learning what it is that you're doing and developing a passion and stuff. So I love that. I love how you put that. So let's flip it now. Let's talk about a successful moment. And this could be something big, something small, but tell us about a time that you've felt successful. What was it that happened? Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from that experience?
You know, I would say that probably the biggest success I've had is building the Skyline Writing Center, which I think is really partially my work, but mostly a testament to my students' work. We've really crafted a student-centered, student-led space that's really committed to addressing these ideas of literacy that we've been talking about so far. And I have students really in at key levels, design levels, about the Writing Center and literacy is groundbreaking. And I think it's really changed some of the school culture and even the district culture around reading and writing. So, they're really passionate about social justice and equity. We spent a year writing a social justice and equity statement that's at the heart of our work. SkylineWritingCenter.org/equity. You can go read what's really driving us and what's really at our core. But in addition to that, I mean, these students have really done so much. We have school-wide writing competitions. We've given away almost $1,000 to writers in terms of our writing prize. We have an award-winning literary magazine that they're responsible for called Teen Spirit. We have three successful community partnerships, two with local universities and one with a nonprofit writing center. We are doing K-5 literacy nights across our region. So students are co-planning these with local groups and running these after school for families. And all of this work is just really, really incredible. And it's really changed the conversation and culture. Like I said, school-wide, certainly, district-wide, certainly, but even region-wide. This year, I won a $10,000 grant from the Michigan Department of Education to spread writing centers around, which is really exciting. And that's allowed us to take an even bigger approach to the literacy and writing goals that we have and reducing those equity gaps that we see all over the place that really, really need to be addressed. So students are involved in this work. I'm really passionate about this work, and it's been really great to see over the last 7 years. But the key, again, unlike my failure, student-led, student-centered, they're doing the work, they're making the choices, they're in command, and things are really best when I just stay out of the way and let them do the amazing things that they're capable of.
You know, Jeff, something I always enjoy, you did a great job in your answers focusing on this, but even just through all of our conversations, is you have such an amazing knowledge base that's so different than mine, but our philosophies are so aligned. And I love just whether it be a story you're sharing of your failure or success or your blogs or anything else I've been able to read from you. I think there's such a, you really challenge me like as a person in our conversations obviously you're focusing on similar tasks, right? Building relationships with students, but also your knowledge base. Every time you talk, I'm like, oh, I should try that, or oh, I should do that, or yeah, it's really amazing. And you know, they say, I'm sure we've quoted on this podcast before, but you really are like the five people that you surround yourself most with. And I'm like, every time I hear you talk or tell a story, I'm like, oh, I need to continue to pick his brain, because you're doing such amazing things inside the classroom or with your peers or your colleagues or with your students. It's just so amazing. So I want to kind of ask you, with everything you're doing right now, obviously you're really passionate, but what is getting you excited? You were on Twitter early on. You've obviously accomplished a lot, but what's really fueling your fire?
Well, I'm thinking back to the way that we actually started to connect. We got in a thread on Mastery Chat, which can happen. You kind of get over into a separate conversation within a conversation. And we were talking actually about, started talking about community partnerships and how we bring the community into our school and we bring our school into the community, and how those walls are starting to fall. This is another thing that's kind of, I think, coming into the mainstream a little bit more, and people are really figuring out how to do it. Thanks to people like the Teach Better team, who can really help them think about like what it can look like when your school sort of moves off campus. Then we had a really great phone conversation, and I mean, you're really the guru, the maestro at community partnerships. I would say that ours are really, we're only doing them for a couple years. They're strong, they're established, but this is what's getting me excited, I think, right now, is that people are starting to realize what those potentials are for a kind of a borderless school, I'll call it. And I'm really excited that people are getting out there. Like I said, my students are out there doing some really awesome literacy work with nonprofit organizations, with local universities. The thing I really, really like about this idea, though, is that they're learning so much. They're giving a lot, but they're getting a lot in terms of their learning. I mean, I just think about all of the things they have to do to be really effective. Like, they have to really interrogate their own identities, and they really have to ask reflective questions about themselves. They really have to understand how to build lasting, trusting relationships with people outside of the school. These are important skills that are going to benefit them way beyond me or way beyond our school. They're going to need these for the rest of their lives, and I couldn't provide that on my own in the classroom. So being able to have these opportunities that are really authentic and really meaningful and really doing big work are incredible for their learning. I really think that, again, putting equity and inclusion at the forefront, this is important. I think one of the things that they've realized, and this is really a very important lesson, I think, for them, is that we're talking about equity gaps, and we're talking about literacy gaps, and we're talking about how to fill those. No students are broken. The systems are broken. And so they're not out there trying to fix students or, trying to save anybody. They're out there trying to fix systems and think about these big, relevant solutions that are affecting our community, which, quite frankly, is really, really segregated. So I think they're bright stars in a big constellation of people doing this work. And I think that they'll continue to be. They're really changing their corner of the world. History will record their greatness. I have no doubt about that.
All right. You said about 1,000 things I want to touch on, because there were so many good components about what you just said. But one particular one was your line about bringing in essential skills, social skills, life skills into a classroom, and how I think your statement was, I can't do that on my own. So, and you were talking about that's why you bring people in. And I have to tell you, like, nobody can. That's why it takes a village. Like, to really teach a whole child, it's not just what you can do as a teacher, but what connections you can make. You know, episodes and episodes ago, we interviewed Jimmy Cassis. Do you remember that, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And he was talking all about collecting dots and how, it's all about what dots you have and the connections you can make. And at the time, as a teacher, I'm thinking, yeah, how can I grow my network? Who can I connect with? Like you, Jeff, how can I continue growing as an educator? But the reality is that your concept of not doing it alone and you need to bring people in is introducing that dot concept to our students. How can I give them more resources? How can they really grow as a full person? And you know this is my love. I'm so glad that you brought that up, but I'm just such a fan of what you're doing, because you're right, it's really important work.
We're all stars in the constellation, but to make that constellation shine, we all need to shine. And I think that's a lot of the work that we're doing. And like you said, it's giving them really great access to resources beyond what I could give them. My students are producing scholarship and presenting at professional conferences with people that are way more important than I am. And that's great to see, because they have really important things to share. But again, they're learning those essential skills about presentations and interacting and networking and how you build partnerships. So I love the DOTS idea. DOTS idea is great.
That's really good. And you are pretty important, so don't put yourself down in that part. In terms of advice, though, the question we always ask is, what advice do you have for teachers? And for you specifically, you're obviously a leader in a lot of what you've been working towards. But for those teachers that are listening to you speak, they want to continue to strive for that. What advice do they need?
Well, I think the first thing to do really is to set up a collaborative classroom community. Again, going back to this idea of the team. I think there's a lot of pressure. I work with pre-service teachers a lot. I think there's a lot of pressure to hit that gas pedal into content. And I've got to teach these books and these skills. And it's like, well, instead, let's pump the brakes for a second and really focus on building that robust classroom community. That's going to be the fuel that makes the car go. That's going to be the thing that makes all the other things that you want to have happen. One of the strategies that I like to use really early on in my classes and throughout, especially when I'm teaching something like English 9 or 10, is stories, not stuff. So what we'll do is we'll pick a topic. We'll find a mentor text, like a story from The Moth. We'll look at it together and we'll start writing. And every student's writing for 30 minutes. And then we'll have an open mic share out at the end. And everybody shares over the course of a trimester. And there are no grades, and there are no red pens, and there are no rubrics. It's just the stories that make us human, not the stuff that can kind of weigh us down when we get into the grind of school. This is how I learn about students and really build that collaborative classroom community. And the other thing I'll just say that's really important, that's another big component of mine, another big passion of mine, and if you've ever followed along on Mastery Chat, or if you are one of the 12 people or however many that follow me, you've probably seen me talk about feedback, because I can have these dialogues with students that are really robust, which is a form of feedback. You know, it's not putting the comma in where they may have missed it, but it's really getting to know them as people, as readers, as writers, as thinkers. And every student deserves that level of feedback. And every class. One of the biggest equity issues in schools today is that not every student gets that. And if I could change anything, would that be the thing I would change? Because I know how powerful, really meaningful, personalized, timely feedback can be to a student. It's not just about building their skills, but it's about building a relationship with that student. And it matters so much. So if you're new, if you're a veteran and you don't feel like you have time, please make time. Other things can go, but that feedback and that dialogue cannot go. It's so important.
You're the best. I could not agree more.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I am loving we're all stars in the constellation. We all need to shine. That was like awesome. I couldn't write it down fast enough. So now, Mr. Austin, I'm going to give you a chance to shine. See how I did that, Ray? That in, huh?
Nicely done.
That's actually typically where Ray is shaking her head thinking, you're such a loser. Anyway, yeah, totally true. So what we're going to do here, Jeff, is the next six questions we're going to do fast. And your job, your goal, is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right, challenge
accepted.
What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Mentimeter.
Okay, I'm going to have to go over 15 seconds and ask, what is Mentimeter? I don't know if I'm aware of that one.
So Mentimeter is this great thing that I was introduced to a few weeks ago, and I actually used it. It is basically, it's hybrid presentation and crowdsourcing capabilities. So you are running the slideshow that people are looking at on their device, but you can build in all of these little crowdsourced presentation elements. So you can collect feedback on your presentation, or you can collect data from people. It's great.
Very, very cool. All right, what's give us a book that you're reading right now.
Toni Morrison, Source of Self-Regard.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
I'm going to give you two of my colleagues because they're amazing. Chris Erickson at Erickson English, and my other really great colleague, Crystal Jaskalainen. If you search Crystal Jaskalainen, she'll pop up. She's from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and she's Finnish, and that's how you get Jaskalainen.
Awesome. What's the best YouTube channel or website for educators?
I love Teaching Tolerance.
And give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine that every teacher should get into.
I'm going to go back to what I just said. Please provide meaningful, substantive, timely feedback to your students. It's the thing you got to make time for. Even if it's just plus delta feedback, it's so important.
And what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I'm going to go all the way back to my student teaching. You are the grown-up in the room. If you don't like something, it's probably your fault. And it's within your agency to change. So if you control the weather and you don't like the way it's going, you can make some really important changes.
Okay, that was awesome advice. I feel like I want to write that down or put that on Twitter or Instagram. If you're the grown-up in the classroom, if you don't like something that's happening, you have the agency to change it. Man, yes.
I think so many people say, oh, I don't really have any agency. Like I can't make changes. I run into this a lot, especially with, the pre-service teachers I work with, but we do have agency, and don't let that be an excuse for not doing the things that you know are good and right for students. You, in your classroom, you do have agency. You can control it.
Well, Jeff, I might have the most important question for you tonight, and that has to do with our listeners connecting with you and making sure they can continue to get all this value. In addition to, I'm sure, going and reading all of your awesome blogs and all the other things you've been able to do. So how can people connect with you?
So you can connect with me on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Austin A2. You can connect with the Writing Center at Skyline_WC. I'm also at Mr. Austin A2 on Instagram. You can see my latest post, which I think is photos from the Mariah Carey concert a couple of weeks ago there. And you can follow the Writing Center on Instagram at Skyline_Writing_Center. And then my website is jeffreyaustin.org, where I have not posted about Mariah Carey. And then you can also check out the Writing Center at SkylineWritingCenter.org.
Awesome. And you can find all the links and all the resources and everything we've talked about in this episode with Jeffrey over at teachbetter.com, as well as his really important links to connect with Jeff as well. You can also catch him and occasionally doing a guest blog over there as well. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all the show notes. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really, really appreciate that. And then let's take it one step further. Think of three colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share this podcast with them, because some of you are listening. You've given us the review, you've given us a rating, but you haven't shared this, and you know it's the best podcast in the world. So let's just go ahead and get that done. So, Jeffrey, man, this was awesome. I'm so glad that we finally got you on here. You've been in our world for a while. You've done blogging with us. You've done Master Chat. You're always in Master Chat. We love your outlook on things, and this was really great to just kind of dive a little bit further in and get to know you a little bit more. Some phenomenal quotes that I snagged out of this episode I'm super excited about. So, man, just really, really appreciate you. Thanks for coming on.
Well, like I said, being able to interact with the Teach Better team is like the professional jam. It's like you've climbed Everest. I mean, you're people at the top of your game, and you do so much for the teaching community. So thanks for setting up these podcasts that give us exposure, that help us learn. Thanks for setting up an awesome PLN like Mastery Chat, where we can go to every week and find things to use Friday morning that makes our teaching better and that makes our students learning better. I couldn't be more grateful for all the work that you do. So thank you.
I appreciate those kind words. They really truly mean a lot to all of us. I was going to see if you'd be, do you want to switch it up a little bit? Do you want to take us out with a live from New York at Saturday night?
Ooh,
yeah, this is exciting. Live from New York, it's Saturday night.